Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're joined by Jennifer Lamb, estate litigator partner at Carrs Callan LLP. And we're talking about estates and will planning. And, you know, in the last segment, we talked about will being overturned effectively, yeah. Right? So the wishes didn't match the legal and moral obligations in BC. We also have come to learn that there's very different rules in Alberta and BC. The goal for everybody in their estate planning is to really think about the gift that they want to leave behind, how they want it to be given and received, right? And ultimately reduce complexity. Make sure that you don't end up in court and, you know, you're fighting over this stuff and the family dynamic deteriorates as a result of it, yeah. Right? So, Jennifer, first of all, welcome back and thank you for that, sort of the education that we got last hour. Let's pick up the conversation and talk a little bit about how do we avoid it? What are the common mistakes that people make?
Yeah.
While they're planning their wills that ultimately lead to a bad place?
Absolutely. So I think number one is that people tend to procrastinate their estate planning. So especially with complex family dynamics, potentially second, third spouses with adult children from other relationships or marriages, you've got a problem where there's a lack of updated documents in place. And there's also, and I understand that, no one likes to sit down and talk about and think about their own mortality and how they want their estate to go when they pass away. But it is such an important step to take. And it's also, I see very complex and very high conflict estate litigation matters arise because there's been a lack of communication within the family. And so kids, they lose one or both of their parents. They don't understand what was intended. There's challenges among potential manipulation, coercion. And this usually comes or arises from sort of subsequent relationships and adult children. So I think the best advice that I could provide is that it's open the lines of communication, be very open and honest with with your children and what you want them to receive, and also have very good professional advisors to guide you through and not put this off, because oftentimes we'll see, the best of intentions, but nothing was ever formalized. And then that can lead to complicated legal disputes.
Jennifer, I don't think the average person in Alberta understands what the process is that takes it from writing a will, passing away, then the will gets disputed and ends up in court. Like, you deal with cases that go to court. So how does it get to you? Like, what happened? What's the process where it ends up in your hands and then you have to go to court to, I'm going to use the words, fight this out?
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a number of different scenarios. One, the sort of most common scenario that we encounter is that a party is challenging the validity of a will. So either it was not, it does not meet the formal requirements of valid execution. So it wasn't properly witnessed, it wasn't properly constituted under the Wills and Succession Act. But even more commonly, you have suspicions of a lack of mental capacity. So someone, for example, was taken to a new lawyer. I've got a file right now, actually, 10 days before she died, advanced terminal cancer under a lot of pain medication, completely changed her will with a new lawyer 10 days before she died, and she completely cut her spouse out. And it was her adult children who were procuring this. So that's a very common challenge to a will, where you say it's usually a combination of either a lack of mental capacity and or the presence of suspicious circumstances. And so then the onus shifts. It's a very sort of complicated legal process, but the surrogate rules provide for a process by where the challenger, the propounder of the will, has to prove due execution. And then the parties that are challenging the validity have the onus to prove suspicious circumstances. And we run those files all of the time. It's a very high bar to prove suspicious circumstances, to undo or prove that a will is invalid. But there's multiple cases around it. And it, unfortunately, it's happening all the time that we see, essentially, it's elder abuse. If you feel as though someone is being taken advantage of by their family members or by a caregiver, for example.
Jennifer, what obligation, responsibility does the lawyer or the legal community in this particular case have in an instance like that, right? I mean, you didn't, obviously, the lawyer wouldn't have known the person was going to pass away in 10 days, but is there some obligation or is that just sloppy work or is there, you know, what's the obligation there?
Absolutely. And that's a really difficult question, but I can tell you, because I also do estate planning, is that when we're presented with someone who is, we have various checklists, okay, as a starting point in terms of assessing capacity. And we're not medical professionals, we're not physicians,
sure.
But we certainly, capacity is a legal definition, not a medical diagnosis. And
gotcha.
So we have very various checklists that if we're concerned that someone may be declining and may have mental health or just cognition concerns, we go through a very detailed checklist with them. I always want to meet with the client independently. I don't want to have family members in the room. I don't want to be taking instructions from family members. Yeah. I want to make sure that I'm taking instructions from my client who is instructing me to prepare their estate planning documents. But in terms of the capacity question, I often will, if I'm very concerned about manipulation, coercion, mental capacity, I will ask that they submit to a formal capacity assessment by a specialist in the area. There's a couple in Calgary, neuropsychological experts who will do very detailed capacity assessments to make sure that there's testamentary capacity, because that's, if you don't have that even opens up the estate further to be challenged.
Yeah, it just seems to me that would be an obvious first step. If somebody was making a drastic change and you knew there was some medical conditions, like why? What's driving this, right? There's a red flag there for sure. So it's nice to hear that there are some processes in place. However, what it does is it leads to a complicated legal process, right? One way or another.
It does.
This case goes there, yeah.
Exactly. Complicated, expensive, emotionally taxing, and can be very devastating to a family. So I've oftentimes refused to take instructions if I feel as though capacity is in a real, it's very much an issue, because as a solicitor, I have a duty to the client to reflect their testamentary intentions. So when you talk about, was it just sloppy work? Maybe, but maybe not. Because also elderly people with dementia can have good days and bad days. And
they can also
be very convincing, right?
Yeah. Trust me, I've got my mother has dementia, and there are days, you would never know, right?
But,
yeah, it's very interesting to see.
You know, Jen, there's so much that we can talk about this. I know you and I have had off-air conversations about this. I just love learning from you about what goes on in this world, because it does impact our listeners. It does impact our clients, especially one thing I learned about today is that when you move from one province to another, the rules change. So people from BC come into Alberta going to BC, very common between the two provinces. The rules change. You need to update your estate plan on that, and that's a very a big learning outcome. Jen, we could be doing this forever. Unfortunately, somebody and Chorus will cut us off if we keep on talking. So I want you to come back again if you can and give us some more information, more advice, and really help our listeners understand that this is a process that needs to go through.
Well, I would love to continue the conversation with you, Dave and Faisal, at any time. I think these are just such important concerns. And with the last of the baby boomer generation turning 65 in the year of 2024 and the transfer of wealth we're going to see in our province, I just think this is such a pertinent issue for all of us advisors as we're helping our clients navigate through some difficult times and making sure that they're not ending up in court and their families aren't ending up in court once they've passed away. So would love to continue the conversation anytime.
Sounds good. Jennifer, thank you for joining us. We've been joined by Jennifer Lamb. So she's an estate litigator. If you want to get a hold of her, she's a partner at Cars Callan LLP. Thanks again for all of your input. Now, the estate, okay, is part of the overall lifestyle plan. We call it the legacy bucket, but it's an important piece of the family dynamic, of transitioning that wealth, right? Of proper tax planning, of all those things. And these are all the topics plus more that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, the team that you're going to have that's going to help you transition to and live through retirement needs to talk about not only your retirement income, but this health and legacy buckets that need to be discussed as you age and as you go through retirement. And we're going to discuss that on Tuesday, October 20th, 7 p.m., live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
If you're nervous about how the U.S. election could influence your investments, stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.